did a small amount of research for this episode.
Yes.
Because when I was in college, I was really interested in some of the sagas.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite ones, my most favoritest ones,
mm-hmm.
were the sagas where the Icelanders went to Greenland, and then from Greenland they went to what they called Vinland.
Yes.
To the New World.
Mm-hmm. Or to, you know, the world that they just hadn't been to yet.
Exactly.
Wasn't really all that new.
Wasn't new for a whole lot of people.
Yeah, but you know.
I just thought it was really interesting that like Norse people had been to America before
mm-hmm.
the rest of Europe said they discovered it.
Yeah.
Although no one actually discovered it, because there are a lot of other people living there.
People did discover it, just thousands of years before some other folks
correct.
Did.
Correct,
know?
Correct, correct. And there was this one figure that I think is really interesting,
mm-hmm.
and her name is Guðríður Þorbjarnardóttir,
mm-hmm.
or Gudrid Þorbjarnardóttir, Þorbjarnardóttir.
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 Yes. And fun fact, she's related to both of our spouses.
She is. She's related to an immense number of Icelanders.
I'm sure she is. She is Snorri's 24th great-grandmother, I think so.
She's Gísli's 25th great-grandmother.
Uh-huh. Look at that.
So, like, if you say, like, the word great 25 times
exactly.
and then grandmother,
yeah.
that's what she is for Gísli.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that fascinating?
It is.
It's pretty cool that you can look this stuff up at the touch of a button as
yeah.
well.
Which, and related in which way? Because Snorri is not actually the however many great times grandson of the Snorri that was born. Well, we'll get to that. I don't want to give
right.
away too much. Not him, but his brother.
Þorbjörn.
Yeah.
That's also Gísli.
Okay. Did yeah. the other guy not have kids, I wonder?
Maybe not.
Oh.
Maybe he was a confirmed bachelor.
Maybe.
A medieval confirmed bachelor.
He might have been. He might have been a bachelor.
Well, you know, he was born in Manhattan. we'll get to
he's
that.
A New York City boy.
He's
a New York City boy.
He is the original New York City
mm-hmm.
boy.
Where 7th Avenue meets Broadway.
So, this woman, we're going to talk about a couple of things.
Yes.
We're going to talk about this woman who is just a real badass.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also going to talk, she's from Snæfellsnes, the region of Snæfellsnes, which is the peninsula just north of Reykjavik.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also going to talk about, later in the show, folks.
Oh, look at it. We're sounding so professional.
We're going to talk about traveling that area
mm-hmm.
of the country where you can stop and see the farm where she was born. Yeah, but let's get back to Guðríður.
Yeah.
Her nickname was Guðríður Víðfartla.
And what does that mean?
It's a mouthful.
Mm-hmm.
But it means Guðríður wide-fared. Or Guðríður far-traveled.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because this person...
Yes.
...went from modern-day New York, where that is, on the North American continent...
Yes.
...all the way down to Rome in Europe. I mean, she covered some ground.
All the way down to Rome.
Yeah.
It's an interesting way of putting it.
What do you mean?
Down to Rome from New York?
No. Back to Iceland and then back down to Rome.
Okay.
Like an inverted U.
Mm. All the way to Rome. Rome and New York and Iceland and Greenland.
Yeah. Which, I mean, she was alive around 1000 AD.
Mm-hmm.
Before Virgin Atlantic is what I'm saying.
Yeah. So she...
Difficult trips to make.
Was not just a little hop, skip, and a jump.
No.
On a jet.
Absolutely not.
It was like dysentery and starvation.
Yes, just...
Nausea.
Right.
Oh, I almost died.
Yes.
But like for weeks at a time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Super hostile native people.
Mm-hmm. As they should be.
No finger pointing here. No finger pointing here.
If only they'd been a little more hostile.
I mean, people said that when she went to Rome, she spoke with the Pope when she was there.
Uh-huh. Who was the Pope at the time? Do we know?
I don't know.
Okay. Google it.
I could have looked that up.
Google the Pope.
Did not look it up.
That time.
Mm-hmm. But it's just pretty amazing that like she did all this.
So this was like a big time of Christian conversion in Iceland.
Correct? Exactly. Yeah.
So she was like, oh, I'm doing it. I'm converting like hardcore.
Yes. Left and right.
Yeah.
And you know, who knows how much was like superimposed on her story after the fact.
Yeah.
By the storytellers.
Oh, you know.
Yeah. But she went on 8 transocean voyages.
Eight. Mm-hmm. So she did it once going across and then came back and was like, oh, no, let me do that some more.
Let's keep it going.
I would say, hell no, never again. I think I might have even stayed in, like, North America. I've been like, I'm good. I cannot go back across.
Well, listen to what happened to her in North America. And then you tell me.
Ooh. Okay, so she's born. I'm getting ahead of the story. She's born in Iceland.
Well, let me tell you. She went on these 8 transocean voyages, mm-hmm. which, I mean, really, if you're from Iceland, everything's transocean. Mm-hmm. So where else are you going to go? You know what I mean? So maybe I'm making a little bit too much out of that.
You have to trans some water.
Exactly. You got to trans some water to get where you're going. Water
if you want to get somewhere.
But she also traveled.
Be somebody. Sorry.
She, like, crossed Europe also. Okay,
yes.
Like, she had been all over Europe as well.
Okay.
Which is pretty impressive, I think.
Especially for a woman in those days.
Absolutely.
For a woman to do it. Not only for a woman to do it, because I feel like a lot of women actually did do this kind of thing, but for it to be documented.
Right.
For a woman to do it and it be documented and last this long through history without somebody somehow getting rid of it.
And giving, like, her a penis at some point.
Yeah.
And calling her exactly. Gunnar instead of Gudrid.
Exactly. That it's stood the test of time.
Yeah.
That's great.
We know about her through these 2 sagas, actually, which were the sagas mm-hmm. I really enjoyed reading when I was a kid. And they're the Vinland sagas.
When you were a kid?
Yeah. Well, when I was a college kid. one was called The Saga of Eric the Red.
Yeah, okay.
Who took a bunch of Icelanders and formed a colony in Greenland.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is just called The Saga of the Greenlanders.
I don't think I read that one.
Well, when I say Greenlanders, I don't mean the native Greenlanders.
Exactly.
I mean the Norse people who went to go live in Greenland.
Yeah, I think that's what turned me off of reading that one.
There is a fascinating mystery in all of this, though.
Okay.
Because at some point, that colony of Norse people in Greenland...
It was like a Roanoke-type situation? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Vanished.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was like a Roanoke situation. Although not really like a Roanoke situation. Because they didn't. It wasn't like 1 year they were there and the next year they were gone.
Uh-huh.
It was like they were there for 500 years and then they stopped being there.
Oh.
But it wasn't like all of a sudden, really.
Okay, so did they just blend into the indigenous community? No?
No, I think basically they were like, what are we doing? It's so cold here, you guys.
It's just a bunch of ice. Why?
I don't want to eat seal anymore. So they were just like, later days, peace out. Smell you later, Greenland. We're out of here. And then they like came back. But for 500 years, they were there.
Okay. They tried to make it work.
They tried to make it work for 500 years. Exactly. I think that's what they finally got back to, too.
Yeah.
Also, I was reading that, like, I think that they might have gone back to Iceland because Black Death?
Yeah.
The plague, basically.
Yeah, plague.
Wiped out half of Iceland's population.
Right.
And so there were some... vacancies.
Yeah.
And Iceland then needed to be filled.
Like some of these farms got freed up. Come get it.
So they were like, you guys are from Greenland?
You guys?
So that's like, there's a lot of different reasons why they might have. Apparently, like, it was warm for a while in Europe.
Okay.
And maybe it was like all green in Iceland. Like maybe green, I mean, it was green in Greenland.
Okay.
And then like there was a little ice age and they were like, ooh.
It's like, oh, this is what it's really like.
Yeah, this is what it's really like here.
Mm.
So then they came back.
And it also is, just speaking of the plague, also kind of contributes to all Icelanders being related to each other. Because the population shrank so much.
Super a lot.
That here we are now talking about the ancestor of our husbands.
Who was the same person.
Exactly.
So this woman was born on Snæfellsnes
mm-hmm.
at a little farm called Laugarbrekka.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll put this on our map. Our map, by the way, is getting very full.
It is getting very full.
And I've gotten one message so far mm-hmm. about someone who planned their entire trip with it.
What? Really?
Which, it makes me so happy that people are getting some use out of it.
Yeah. Well, that's what we wanted to happen.
Exactly. That's what we wanted to happen. And it is. I feel like it's super useful. So if you haven't checked it out, go check it out. We really have done a good job at putting all of the... If I do pat myself on the back, we've done a good job putting all of our little pins down and our little notes
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
about the places that we talk about. So she was born in Laugarbrekka, and this is actually the same place where Iceland's first serial killer that we talked about in episode 4...
Really?
...was put to death.
Oh, where he's put to death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Guðríður started life here,
mm-hmm.
and Axlabjörn ended his life here in a very grisly and gory way. And if you'd like to hear more about that, go to episode 4 and hear all about it. If you go visit it now,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people go there for the axe murder, or for, not the axe murder, for the serial killer.
Yeah.
And they find this little statue of a woman and what looks like a very small person, actually a baby.
Oh, okay. That was the old school style of sculpture. You find it in ancient Egypt as well.
Yeah. Just like a small adult.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in if you go to her farm, you see a little statue of her and her son on a long ship.
Aww.
It's a nice statue too. Ásmundur Sveinsson did it. You know, the famous Icelandic, the famous Icelandic sculptor.
Of course I know him.
He has one of the campuses for the Reykjavik Art Museum is dedicated to him and his sculpture. Mm-hmm. It's the one that's out by the big pool. It's very roundy.
They're very roundy ones.
Very roundy sculptures.
I remember you talking about the roundy sculptures.
They're nice. I like them a lot. Mm-hmm. So she, when she was a kid, they were living the life, living the dream on Snifel's Nest.
Of course.
And her parents were like, we can do better. Screw this. Let's go to Greenland.
So her parents had the itchy feet. And they carried that. They passed that on to my husband, who also has itchy feet. Yeah. Does Gisli have itchy feet?
We move constantly.
See? Got the itchy feet.
We got the itchy feet.
We found where it began.
And her parents were like, let's upgrade.
Mm-hmm. And go to Greenland.
Let's take this show to Greenland.
Show them how it's done.
And there are some great stories of her life in Greenland.
Okay.
She started living... one of the most famous stories is when she was young. Mm-hmm. And they were living with this farmer in Greenland called Thorkell. That was his name.
A farmer in Greenland. I'm trying to envision this, and it's really difficult.
The Norse people had three big settlements. They had the East Settlement, the West Settlement, and the Middle Settlement. And there were lots of Norse people there just like farming.
Farming hunting. In Greenland.
Yeah, exactly.
What did they farm?
I don't know. What do they farm here? I mean, animals,
grass.
Basically.
They grow grass to feed to the sheep.
I think that's what they're doing. It was like animal husbandry, basically.
Okay.
So like goats. They had cattle that was there.
Really?
They brought cattle all the way down to New York City. We'll get to that in a little bit. Huh?
Wow.
Yeah, so that's what they were doing there. Mm-hmm. This is a big farm, too. It was big enough where they could, house people who were coming to Greenland. So her family was living on this farm. Mm-hmm. And the farmer there, Thorkell, he decided to throw a big party. Mm-hmm. And, as you do with a party, nowadays and back then, you need some entertainment.
Yes.
So he he brought this woman in, and her name was Thorbjörg. Mm-hmm. And she was a prophetess.
Okay.
Because, who doesn't like a fortune teller to come to the party?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I really like her description in the saga. They said that she had on super weirdo clothing, and she was acting in a super woo-woo way. Those were basically a direct translation from the sagas.
Yeah, yeah. I love that, even back then, those people were just like, I don't know, she's got her beads and her whatever, I don't know.
She's out there, but
the prophetess is
woo-woo.
Here.
Yeah. She had on something called a mertel. Which is, it's like a loose-fitting cape.
Okay.
So, high drama factor. Mm-hmm. She had on a hat, of course.
Oh, was it pointy?
This is my favorite part, though. She had on cat skin gloves.
Oh,
isn't that bizarre?
Cat skin gloves.
And at the party, she had to have special food brought to her. Because she is a dietary restriction diva,
of course.
She had to have porridge made out of goat's milk.
Okay.
And to get her into her A game, she liked to eat all kinds of animal hearts.
Oh.
So just a medley of animal hearts.
Oh, just bring me your hearts.
Bring me your finest hearts, please. And if she's wearing the catskin gloves, I'm thinking that no animal is off limits.
Oh, wow. Oh, she sounds like a real winner.
She was a 11th century prophetess.
Yeah, and she went with the role.
Ran with it.
Wholeheartedly.
And the best part was that she's one of 10 sisters who all basically do the same thing. They all got the gift.
This is like Professor Trelawney in Harry Potter. It's like, oh yes, I have the gift, just like my mother. Sure you do.
So before she can do her prophetizing, which is like commentating, right?
Yes, just like commentating.
Her prophetization. She has to have this magic poem read for her. An incantation called Varlokur. Mm. And any woman who is worth her
salt.
Her salt is supposed to know this.
Okay.
She goes around the room, none of the women know it.
Oh, because they haven't been in the lands?
I guess.
Was it just an Icelandic thing? And they were only
Well, I mean, I guess that because these are all like former Icelanders, you're out in Greenland. Mm-hmm. You're like in the provinces. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? You are like in the boondocks.
Yeah.
You're like the colonists now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe these women hadn't been raised right.
Yeah.
But who knows it? Mm-hmm. They go out into the farm and they find Guðríður. And yeah. Sure enough, little Guðríður, mm-hmm. she knows it.
Okay.
And she protests at first because she wants to be a Christian.
Oh, okay.
And she feels it'll defile her to say this pagan poem. But yeah. She knows it, of course, backwards and forwards. And so finally they beg her and they're like, oh, but everyone wants to hear their fortunes. Come on. It's not going to hurt anybody. So she says it.
Baby Jesus won't be mad at you. Is that what they tell her?
she says it, and they say that it had never been performed as well. Ever.
Of course.
She blew the house away.
Yeah.
Standing ovations. A great write-up in the...
Pounding of the wooden tables.
And after that, basically, the prophetess told everyone in Greenland, like, gray skies are going to clear up, put on a happy face, everything's going to be fine. And then she said that Guðríður would go on to have an incredibly bright future. Mm-hmm. Which is awesome. And she did. Fast forward, three husbands later.
Three husbands.
Boom, boom, boom.
Ain't letting nothing stop her.
Nothing's stopping her. She marries this guy named Þorfinnur Karlsefni. Mm. His nickname means man material.
Ooh, so man material.
She downfound herself some man material.
Oh, man.
They get hitched. Mm-hmm. And he's like, baby, I'm taking you to Vinland. It's the middle of winter. And Greenland. And he was like, let's head down to Vinland. Mm-hmm. I know some people who know some people.
Oh, okay.
So he launches this expedition and he brings...
This sounds a little familiar. The, like, just trusting the dude who says, oh, no, no, I got it. I know the way. This sounds really familiar. Yeah, go on ahead.
Did you hitch yourself to an Icelander and head to a new country?
You know, something like that happened to me.
Because I might have hitched myself to an Icelander and found myself in a new country.
Yeah, yeah.
So they head down to Vinland. He brings all these, like, cattle with them. Like, he's ready to set up shop.
He's ready.
They set up camp at this place called Hope.
Okay. Hope, like a brave new?
No.
No.
Hope, like the Icelandic word hope. H-O-P.
Oh, okay.
It means, like, a lagoon mm-hmm. or a sort of, like, a island among waters.
Okay.
Can you think of any place on the East Coast that is like this?
Hmm.
Long sort of island with waters.
A longish island yes. with waters all about.
Yes.
A tinyish island yes. nearby. Could this be my beloved New York City?
It is. In all likelihood, where they stopped
yeah.
is not just New York City, but freaking Manhattan.
Manhattan. Back in the day.
First Europeans to get down to Manhattan. Mm-hmm. There they are. Welcome. We're going to fuck shit up from here on out.
Sincerest apologies. We aren't going to be the last.
It's pretty cool, though, because, like, all this stuff has been written about in these sagas and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But there's been no, like, there's been no proof that Norse people actually made it over to North America until recently, like in the 1960s.
Right.
They found this site called Lancel Meadows, which is the tippy top point of Newfoundland. Mm-hmm. And there they found, like, a whole Viking village, yeah. basically, that had been, like, a settlement that had been there. Mm-hmm. And after that, they're sort of like, oh, okay, this did happen. Mm-hmm. They haven't found anything south of that. Mm-hmm. So maybe if we do dig deep down enough to do that Second Avenue subway.
Yeah.
We're going to find
some Viking shit.
I mean,
they're doing it, so.
Yeah. We'll find out. We'll see. Stay tuned. There was actually this is fascinating. This is just a little tangent.
Sidebar.
There's this map called the Vinland Map. Mm-hmm. And I was reading about it on Wikipedia today, and it is fascinating. I won't go into it.
Okay.
But if you want yourself a historical academic mystery,
uh-huh.
read about this thing. It is fascinating.
What's the mystery? You can't tease the mystery and not tell a historian about historical mystery.
Well, okay. So they found this map in, like, the mid-60s, a little mm-hmm. bit after Lancel Meadows was discovered.
Right. So they're like, let's look into this.
And the people who found it claimed uh-huh. that it was a 15th century map
okay.
depicting Vinland on, like, the rest of the map of the world.
Okay.
15th century. I mean, this would have been the oldest map to have shown the new world in like in such detail. And it was supposed to be like a Nordic map. So they had a bunch of names, place names that would have been how the Norse people called them. But like they like went into the ink and the parchment and they're dating this and they're using this material and they did like a molecular analysis of the ink and like it's shaped like cones. No, it's shaped like discs. And like everyone's talking about it and there's all these things that point to the fact that it is truly authentic.
Yeah.
And then someone else comes along and is like, but it can't be authentic because of this. The whole thing is fascinating.
Okay.
So if you're into that sort of thing, like historical hoaxes.
Yeah.
Then and like the science behind proving things is authentic.
Trout of Turin type thing.
Exactly. This is like this is stuff for you then.
Okay.
It's really fascinating. Right. Maybe we'll talk about it at some point. Anyway, they get down there. They they head down there in the middle of winter. What did they find?
As you do.
Well, they hit the jackpot though. They found a beached whale when they got down there.
Cha-ching!
Dinner. Cha-ching. All you can eat buffet all winter long. And they also found the natives down there.
Yeah.
They call them Skrælingar, which means like people with dry skin, basically. And it's, to this day in Icelandic, it's not like a great thing to call somebody.
Okay.
So surprise, surprise, they had a derogatory name for the natives.
Yeah.
So they set up camp there. And she had their son, their first son.
Yeah.
Born in 1004.
First European born in North America.
In North America. By the name of
Snorri.
Snorri.
Yeah.
Classic Icelandic
was
name.
Was he adorable?
He was probably really adorable.
Yeah, I'm sure he was.
First little white man in New York City.
Then 1,000 years later.
Here comes the next.
Here comes another one.
So they're in Manhattan. They don't want to trade weapons with the natives. They want to keep things peaceful with them. So they trade milk with them.
Okay.
Because they have all these cattle down there with them.
Okay, but I'm sure my indigenous folk are lactose intolerant.
No, the indigenous folk are crazy about it.
Okay.
They're like, what is this nectar of the gods?
They didn't notice it gave them the runs. Okay.
Bring us more. So things went really, really well.
Okay, good.
Until this is one of like my favorite stories from her history. It's really bizarre.
Okay, everything went well until what happened?
The Skrælings came for like a trading session.
Okay.
And Gudrid is inside her house with Snorri in a cradle.
Okay.
And there is a person who comes in, and they say that she's short. They say that she's dressed in black and she has a headband. And they say that she has light reddish brown hair and fair skin.
Okay.
So I don't know like what the native people who like lived in Manhattan originally looked like.
Yeah.
But maybe this could have been one of the natives who was there.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the interesting things that they said in the saga is that this person had the largest eyes that you've ever seen in a human head.
Huh.
This makes me think that it was a UFO.
It was one of those aliens. The ones, you know, the ones with the big eyes.
So Gudrid reaches out her hand.
Yeah.
And she says, my name is Gudrid. To this woman.
Yeah.
And the woman looks back at her, reaches out her hand, and she says, my name is Gudrid. Back to her.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's creepy.
It just gives me chills when she says this. And when she says this, there's a huge hubbub outside. There's a huge bang.
Huh.
And like, and they hear everything like, there's like a big ado outside. And she turns around, the woman's gone. She's vanished. When she goes outside, she realizes that one of the Skrælings, one of the natives, had reached for one of the Norseman's weapons. Probably not to like steal it or something like that.
Just checking it out.
Like, what is that?
What is this? Yeah.
Right? But the Norseman reacts and kills him.
Oh.
Things go south.
Oh.
Trading does not go well.
Understandably.
The Skrælings all scamper to the hills.
Yeah.
They pull up shop. They're like, we can't stay here. They're going to come back and they're going to try to attack us. So they make it through the rest of that winter.
Mm-hmm.
They pull up shop and they skedaddle back to Greenland.
Mm-hmm.
But that story just always creeps me out.
Yeah. But I'm sure, it's not like the person knew what she was saying, so they just repeated what she said. They're like, oh, I'll just say that back.
Yeah.
The words that she
was saying. She was just echoing what she had said to her. I just think it's interesting that there's that level of detail, do you know, like their interactions. I just it's fascinating that was like how things went down. What a shitty way for them to go down, too.
Yeah. Something always happens.
Yeah.
It's either that or, you know, somebody gets a cold. you know,
right,
some sort of crazy bacteria. And then, oh, look at that.
So they head back to Greenland.
Mm-hmm.
They decide that they don't like Greenland. They go to Norway.
Norway, okay.
They don't like Norway. Because I kind of like this one either. They head back to Iceland, mm-hmm. and they set up shop at a farm called Glaumbær.
Mm-hmm. And where is that?
It's in Skagafjörður, which is the fjörður that's just west of where Akureyri is. So it's in the north.
Oh, okay.
Glaumbær sounds like Glaumbær, sounds mm-hmm. like sad town, but yeah. it actually means happy town. Glaumbær is like merriment and joy.
Yeah.
So that's their farm.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward, Karlsefni dies, Snorri takes over the farm,
mm-hmm.
and Gudrid basically decides, like, okay, I'm going to go see more of the world now, you guys.
Yeah.
Smell you later.
Mm-hmm.
She takes what they call the Suðurgonga, a south walk-in. Which is basically like it's like a pilgrimage to like mm-hmm. the holy sites.
Oh, okay.
Although I don't think
a walkabout.
Oh, a walkabout.
Mm-hmm.
Did that sound Australian?
Yeah, it did. It did. It was good.
So she went. she went down to the continent.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's right. Because she's from Long Island now, right?
She's from Long Island.
I'm going to go to the continent. I'm going to go see the Pope.
She's a snowbird.
Yeah.
Yeah, she goes down to Rome, and some people say that she did see the Pope. Some people say that this is just all made up because they're trying to promote Christianity.
Yeah.
That was basically her life. She just traveled an enormous amount.
Mm-hmm. And where did she end her days? Was there more to the tale?
No. She came back finally mm-hmm. to Glaumbær, and by that time Snorri had erected a church.
Of course.
A Christian church.
Oh,
and she basically lived her days out as a nun.
Oh, wow.
In her little church.
After all of that.
At Happy Town.
And yeah. after all that, she came back to Iceland.
And she still came back. Like mm-hmm. they always do. Like they all do. And there you have it.
And so here we are.
Here we are.
Because they all come back to Iceland. Back. And we're
keep
here.
Keep on going back. So you're Icelander. You're Snorri.
Yeah.
You guys met in New York, right?
Yes, we did meet in New York.
And then he's taken you to Iceland.
Yes.
He's brought you back
yes,
to the mothership.
Yes, it was all part of his plan.
Yes.
He says it wasn't. I'm pretty sure it was.
It was a long game.
Not
the long game.
You know, he's good at the long game.
The long con.
He plots everything out.
We were here for the longest time, and then we moved to America.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're back.
Yeah.
Unexpectedly so. What's happening? Yeah, so that's the story of Guðrid.
Wow.
I think it's just pretty cool that she got around so
that
much.
That she got out there.
Yeah.
In a time when it was not easy to get out there.
Yeah.
Not at all. Cool chick from a cool peninsula.
In the coolest country in Europe. Iceland.
She gave us our husbands. Thanks.
Should we talk about Snæfellsnes?
Yes, the land of her birth.
Yeah.
This day, it's kind of a nice place to visit.
Absolutely. They call it Iceland in a nutshell.
Aw. Yeah, you do get a lot of Iceland.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to get, like, all the juicy bits, all the pretty bits.
Yeah.
It's all right there.
The South Shore is very Icelandic with, like, big black beaches.
Mm-hmm.
And these sort of sweeping hills.
Oh, but you've never seen The Sound of Music.
I have no idea what you could refer to.
Burst in the song, but you, my friend, have never seen The Sound of Music.
No.
So bizarre.
Thanks for telling the world.
Well, you've already, I think you told them in another episode. You confessed. You confessed your sins.
They have like these sweeping hills. They have like horse farms on the South Shore.
Mm-hmm.
On the North Shore, it's more like Norway, like these deep fjords.
Which?
Huge mountains.
Which side is Búðir on?
Búðir is on the South Shore.
Okay, so that's where I've been.
So tell us about Búðir a little bit.
It's pretty. Well, we talked about it a little bit already in our travel episode.
We did.
In the which one? Up, down, and through Iceland, perhaps?
Up, down, and through Iceland, that's right. Episodes 2 and 3, right?
Yes, episodes, parts 1 and 2.
Parts 1 and 2.
And it's a beautiful little place. We saw a lot of puffins there. It's very green and lush. The one thing I remember the little church there, and I remember just walking the land in that area.
It's set in a lava field.
Yeah, there's like this little, we stumbled upon this little, it is a cave, but it's super tiny. And it's someplace that like sheep hang out, like in inclement weather, because it smelled horrible.
A sheep hang out. I can imagine.
But it was cool to go with the kids. They're like, ooh, it's like a little cave, but it wasn't like deep and it was super tiny.
It just smelled like teenage boys.
It smelled like.
That's awful.
Like sheep. But, you know, Andre thought it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a cute place, though.
It is.
But they also have, like, a sunken living room with, like, a panoramic view over the bay. It's, like, a... It's a historic house, I think. Mm-hmm. If it's not historic, they make it look fucking historic. You believe in the history in that house. It's, like, very L.L. Bean somehow.
It is. You're right. You're right. I do remember, like, laying about in the grass. Like, it was a relatively warm day, which it was, like, a day like today.
Yeah. It was beautiful outside, by the way, folks.
Blue skies. The sun was out. You could take off your wool.
You could remove the wool.
The kids are throwing rocks in the water. It's lovely.
I'm going to bring back to food for a second, because yeah. I think of all the places in Sneifel's Nest, they do the best lunch there.
Okay. But what are some of the other places? Because we've talked about Luther before. What's the freshness? Because that's the only place I've been. So I also want to know about some other places.
My favorite first stop out there is Itritunka, which is a little farm.
Mm-hmm.
Huge black sand cove.
Okay.
And there's a really nice colony of seals.
Aww.
They're very hospitable.
They're very hospitable.
Very friendly. They're very curious. They like to come right up to you. They like to put their little flipper under their chins and just pose for the camera. They also do this thing where they'll get up on the rock and they'll make like a little...
Camera girl!
Find the light!
Smize!
Smize. They do this thing where they get up on a rock and they make a little...
Oh, yeah.
Like you with their bodies.
Oh, they just do that? They're
they're so cute!
Go ahead, take a picture.
They're adorbs.
Mm-hmm.
There's a nice ravine there, if you like a ravine.
A ravine?
It's called Rødfjellsgjau.
Say that again.
Rødfjellsgjau.
Oh.
If you do go in it, you'll be doing some climbing.
Okay.
There is water in there.
All right.
Which makes everything incredibly slippery.
Oh. Is it deep water?
No. It's just a trickle running to the bottom.
It's a trickle. So slip and slide.
It's just enough to make everything very muddy.
Where you just come out very damp and muddy.
Yes.
And cold.
But if you put in the time, put in the minutes and hours.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember how long it took us. Maybe it wasn't an hour, I don't think.
Okay.
You get to see like a little waterfall inside, which is pretty great.
Oh, okay.
And you can go further, but like once you get to the waterfall, That's
the highlight. That's what you want to see.
That's the money shot right there. Mm-hmm. You don't need to go any further.
Okay.
It's called Rødfjellsgjau because the guy who settled that area, his mm-hmm. name was Bárður Snæfellsás. You know, he's pretty famous out there because he was half troll, half human.
Oh, you know, as you are.
A lovely gentleman he sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And his brother, who was called Rødfjellir, mm-hmm. which means Red Riding Hood.
Really?
Yes. Rødfjellir pushed Bárður's daughter, Helga, onto an ice floe and out to the water.
What?
And he was like, what is wrong with you? And he pushed him down the ravine to kill him.
Wow.
Spoiler alert, Helga floated all the way to Greenland. She found herself a man and lived happily ever after. So there is a happy story.
Wow,
to
quite a tale.
I mean, happy ending to the story.
Quite a tale.
Quite a tale. Enjoy the ravine. Enjoy the story. Another great place to stop out there is called Arnastapi, little mm-hmm. bitty fishing village. Lots of, like, summer cottages.
They make you do jazz hands.
You're going to want to do jazz hands when you see these basalt cliff formations, people. They really are dazzling. You know how columnar basalt grows
mm-hmm.
and grows in columns?
Forms.
Yeah, but it looks very unnatural. It looks like someone's chiseled it.
Yeah.
But they grow in these columns in these, like, weird swirling and, like, tilting patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them look like a pipe organ, you know, like an old church pipe organ.
Mm-hmm. Well, because, like, it forms and then there's, like, more movement underneath, right?
And exactly.
And, like, pushes them in these weird ways.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And they make really fun little loops and circles and holes. There's, mm-hmm. like, a keyhole cliff there where the water has eroded away at it.
Oh, nice.
There's one where it looks like it's sort of climbing up the sides of the cliffs.
Ooh, cool.
There's one that you have to get really very close to. And I'm always terrified when they're with Astrid because you have to get, like, really, like, close to it because
uh-huh.
it's a hole.
Okay.
That goes, like, all the way down to the water.
Oh, okay. So you have to get very, very close to be able to look down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I like to lay down on my stomach.
Yeah. And then...
On, like, some newsprint.
You like to... What is that? Army crawl, like, on your elbows?
I like to have someone holding my ankles when I do it. I'm still, like, 5 feet away when I do this. And it's perfectly safe, but the adrenaline in me is just, like, at a 10 when I'm doing this.
Yes.
So that's a really nice place to stop, too. Mm-hmm. Next stop along is Lögabrekka, we were talking about,
Gruder's
farm.
Mm-hmm.
And by that point, you've gotten onto the Snæfellsjökull National Park.
Oh, okay.
And you know the glacier at the end of Snæfellsnes?
Do I know it? Have I visited it? No.
But you know about it, right?
Yeah.
You can see it from Reykjavik.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a glacier, which is to say it looks like a snow-capped mountain.
Yes. Which, you know, before coming to Iceland, I was always like, what does a glacier look like? And Snorri would be like, oh, there's one over there. And I was like, there's a mountain.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's the glacier.
That's a glacier.
It's like, so what's the glacier? What's the mountain? What's what? It's the icy bit on the type of the top of the mountain.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's all you're going to see, really. Mm. It's sort of a wah, 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 like once you finally get to it. Not really. Once you're up close to it, it's very majestic.
Yeah, when you get up on it. But when you see it in the distance, it's kind of like, okay.
And?
Big whoop.
And?
Until you get there, you're like, well, holy shit.
That's where Jules Verne said the entrance to the center of the earth was.
Mm-hmm.
And there are still some sort of woo-woo people who like to gather around it and feel the energy.
Yeah.
Oh, crystals and like stuff like that. Snæfellsnes
is supposed to be like a... like a convergence of ley lines or something? Is that what they call it?
I don't know what they call it. But yes, it's that.
I think it's supposed to do some of that.
Mm-hmm. It's like an important energy channel in the earth.
Yeah.
It's like Giza and Snæfellsjökull and...
Oh, and what's in? Somewhere in Arizona. Like Sedona?
I don't know. Probably. Yeah, but they like to... There's like... I mean... People take it very seriously.
Yeah, they do.
Like people who are battling cancer come because they feel like there's a healing energy like mm-hmm. around the peninsula there.
Mm-hmm.
The cool thing is that it's a glacier, and underneath it, it's a volcano.
Yeah. So when it blows...
Yeah, it's going to just
blow. It'll be a show.
Yeah, it's going to be a show. That's for sure. Also out there is the National Park Guest Center, which is the only bathroom you're going to find out there.
It's the what
center? It's the only bathroom
you're going to find out there. But what did you say before that?
Oh, it's the National Park Guest Center.
Okay.
Stop.
Guest Center. Okay.
Stop. Relieve yourself. Relieve yourself, because you're not going to get to another bathroom anytime soon.
Don't be the reason for them to post a no pooping sign.
That's right.
Don't let it be you.
Mm-hmm. There's a great lava tube cave out there, too. I think we talked a little bit about it.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Vatnsfallið.
Yeah.
And you can go back to episodes 2?
Right? I think so.
Up, down, and through Iceland.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about it there. This is a great little black sand beach called Djúpalónssandur. And the interesting thing about this is they've got these 4 ancient lifting stones.
Oh, to go prove yourself?
To go prove your strength.
Lifting the stones.
When they range in weight from 50 pounds to 350 pounds.
Okay, so I would lift the first one and be done.
That first one is called Amlode, which is another name for useless.
Okay, so I'm useless.
So you go.
I'm useless. Totally useless.
The next one is called Halfdrechtingur, which means weakling.
Oh, God, I'm not even a weakling. How much does a weakling weigh?
I'm going to write that one down.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, because you're like, doesn't matter, you're a weakling.
The next one is called Hausterkur, which means half strong. And the big daddy stone.
Yeah.
Fullsterkur, full strong. So if you can know that one, it's quite impressive. There's also a shipwreck there.
What ship was this?
I'm going to say it's like an English Navy ship.
Okay.
And a shipwreck in 1948.
Mm.
And they didn't pick up the shipwreck. So there's parts of it still around that beach. And they just ask people, mm-hmm. please leave it where it is. It's supposed to be to the memory of the people who died. A lot of people died in that shipwreck.
Wow. Did they recover the people?
The people they recovered, but the ship itself, they just left the pieces there.
I was just curious.
Double checking.
I was like, oh my God.
So that's like really at the very, very tip of the peninsula.
Okay.
You circle back around. And you're going to be on the north side of things, a little bit calmer, vast, vast fjords and mountains. It looks a lot different than the South Shore.
See, I want to go back to The Sound of Music, but you wouldn't know about
the
about, you know, no fjord every stream, climb every mountain, no. Fjord every stream.
I don't know. It's lost on me. Doesn't mean our listeners haven't heard.
They can visualize.
Okay.
Yeah. If you can't.
There's one mountain up there called Kirkjufell, mm-hmm. which is really an amazing mountain. It's very symmetrical. And they chose it to film... Oh, what's a show on HBO?
The
sci-fi show?
Game...
Yeah,
it's
Game
not
of Cards.
Sci-fi. It's
fantasy.
Yeah, Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Did you say Game of Cards?
I did. House of Cards.
House Game of Cards.
Game of Cards. House of Thrones. Yeah, so Jon Snow...
Mm-hmm.
was at some point CGI'd in front of this mountain.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if he was actually there or not. And then directly across from the mountain is this compound waterfall, which is pretty impressive.
Compound waterfall. What is a compound waterfall?
It's just like it's like lots of falling.
Oh, okay.
Lots of stages
like it
of
has
falling.
Tiers.
It's how my mother likes to fall. It's like first she's like she bends an ankle, and then she's like down on her knee. It's like slow motion. You're like, Mom, stop falling. And then she's like, oh gosh. And I'm down. She's down on her side, and then she's like all the way down.
Oh my
like,
god.
Stages. Compound.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get a parking place there. Parking is bonkers at this waterfall.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. I think people, it's a little bitty parking lot.
Mm.
It's a little bit of poor planning mm-hmm. on the local authorities side.
Yeah.
And people like to stay there for a long time.
They didn't expect all these people to come.
I know. You know what there's not?
Toilet.
No toilets. I know. I knew.
Always comes
But folks, if you got a, if you got a pee or poop at that point, just drive a little bit further and you'll get to the first town.
Okay.
So you'll be able
hold it.
Just hold it in. Hold it in.
Hold it.
Do not look at the running water. Circle back once you've relieved yourself and you can park up the road.
Oi.
This is a really cool, and no one ever stops here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really cool little piece of land that sticks out into the water there. And it has an old abandoned farm. And when I say abandoned, I mean it's only the stone walls that are left.
Oh.
But it's kind of cool.
Is it like pretty or is it creepy? Is it both?
It's pretty creepy.
Mm.
It's creepily pretty.
Oh.
But it's just like...
I mean, do love a ruin.
It sort of depends on the weather, you know what I mean? It's like... If it's overcast and gray,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of sad and melancholy.
Yeah.
Both sad and melancholy.
Mm-hmm. Sad and melancholy.
Sad yet melancholy.
Kind of depressing.
It's sad.
Hmm.
But if it's bright weather, sunny.
Yeah.
Sunny, bright weather.
Mm-hmm.
It can be very, very beautiful.
Yeah.
But I'll mark that on the map.
It's please
a little,
do.
A little secret you've got here on the reason
secret no
end.
More. Thanks, Jonas.
There we go. So the last two places I want to talk about are Grundfjörður, which is the town. They have a great cafe, which is uh-huh. also the town library, which is also the town historical society, which is also the town's toy museum.
You find a lot of combo buildings in Iceland, a lot of combo facilities.
Gotta wear a lot of hats here.
You gotta.
There's lots of stuff to do. And the last thing is the town of Stykkishólmur,
mm-hmm.
which is a pretty big town on Snæfellsnes. And there they have the water museum, or they call it the water library. I think the library of water, maybe.
Library of water.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds intriguing.
I know, right?
But what, like, what do they?
It's an American artist who set it up. Her name is Ronnie Horn.
Mm-hmm.
And she has like a special connection with Iceland. And the museum is dedicated to water,
okay.
words, and weather reports.
Huh.
And it sounds gimmicky.
www.
She invented the internet is what I'm saying.
Yeah, clearly.
No, she collected water samples from glaciers all over the country.
Ah, okay.
And they're in these huge columns.
Mm-hmm.
And the light shines in and it refracts through the water. And the waters all do have like these
right.
very different qualities.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the glaciers is gone entirely now. It's melted.
And so that's it. That's what's left of
that's
it. Is that water
it.
In it? Oh,
is in
my
this,
God.
Is this column. Yeah. When you start reading about it, it really is kind of breathtaking.
Wow.
She also went around with a Icelandic author
mm-hmm.
and an Icelandic archaeologist, I want to say. They're brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
And she collected like weather stories from the locals and weather reports.
And Icelanders love to talk about the weather.
They really do. Weather plays such a... We were talking when we were walking up here.
Yeah.
It's sunny today.
We walked. Normally, Jonas drives us because it's usually just like not...
Crapping down rain.
Yeah. It's like, why?
It's miserable.
Today, beautiful day, we walked over.
Yeah, we walked on the hill.
It was a lovely walk.
It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's shiny, and just everyone is so giddy right now.
Yeah.
So I feel like, yeah, weather plays a huge role here in a way that I feel like the places, different places that I've lived, at least,
mm-hmm.
Texas and Montana and New England.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about the weather a little bit. Like, Texas, you just talk about how fucking hot it is.
Yeah.
But here...
Hot enough for you? Is it hot enough for you? Hot enough for you, huh?
And that's about it.
Yeah.
But Icelanders will spend a good time sighing and yow-yowing and talking about the weather.
And talking about how it was yesterday. And
yeah.
What about the day before that? Should we talk about that?
Yeah. And what it's supposed to be in the coming week.
Yeah. Let's go through all the days.
What does the almanac say it's going to be like?
Well, what do they say in the news? Well, did you hear it on the radio? What did your iPhone say?
Yeah, well, because, you know, the weather, it gets to you. Like we were saying on the walk,
yeah.
There's something about the winter here that Oof, it takes it out of you.
She also projects, like, Icelandic words for different weather phenomena.
Oh, that is great. Because there are unique ways of, what's what I'm trying to say? The precipitation here is unique.
Yeah, they really like great. They have gradients of it here too.
Yeah,
they really like to talk about the different kinds of rain,
mm-hmm.
different kinds of snow. One of my favorite words is dalalaitha.
And what is that?
It means like the fog that lays into the valley.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have a name for that valley fog.
No, not really. Not that I've never lived in a valley in the States, so I don't know. Maybe folks who live in valleys have words for that.
Yeah, so and they also have a little writer studio down there. Mm-hmm. And there have been some really amazing writers who've been there. Rebecca Solnit, who's one of my very favorite writers.
Mm-hmm.
Ann Carson, who's a Canadian writer, is just an amazing writer.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so when are you going to do your residency there?
I'm trying to work it out, try to find some time. I don't know how much I can give them, but I'll just have to see about it. I'll be in touch. My people call you people. Okay, goodbye. I think that there is a lot to do on Snifel's Ness.
Mm-hmm.
Not to reroute the conversation too much.
Yeah.
But there's lots of places to discover. There's not a huge amount of traffic. Mm-hmm. It's a great place to just like pull off the road.
Yeah.
And just do a little bit of exploring.
I think that's one of the trips we should do this summer.
Snifel's Ness?
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's also so close. Mm-hmm. You can technically do it as a day trip.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's kind of a stressful day trip.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't want to do that.
Dick goes in the road.
Bring you guys along. Because you're going to come with us on one of these trips.
Mm-hmm. We've done Snifel's Ness so much.
Oh, okay. So then we'll have to come to something else.
I want to go to the interior sometime with
you guys. Okay, yeah.
We haven't done the interior very much.
That would be fun.
Yeah. Talk about empty roads.
Talk about no roads.
Well, no roads, that's right. You make
your
own roads.
There's a road, but it's faint. You got to know your way.
So Arts Festival is happening right now.
Oh, yeah. Did we see something about it? Oh, we went to an art opening. On Sunday, a friend of the husband's had a show, or it's up now. He's a photographer. It was cool.
I feel like...
Very strange. Also, for the music, was a brass band playing The Clash. Like, New Orleans-style brass band. All Icelanders playing songs by The Clash.
What a mix-up.
It was very surreal and bizarre for me.
Pomo.
Everyone was really enjoying it, and I was like, this is weird. I mean, it was good.
Yeah.
It was well done, but it was bizarre. I feel like that happens to me a lot in Iceland.
Oh, where you, what?
Like weird little moments like that would only be weird to an American. Like going to a wedding.
That sounds like pretty weird.
And a country band playing at a wedding in Iceland, playing Sweet Home Alabama and singing Sweet Home Alabama with an Icelandic accent.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Totally weird.
It's pretty strange. were you here? No, you weren't here. But do you know about what happened last year?
No, I wasn't here for it last year.
I don't know if it was part of the art festival last year, but there's like been the Free the Nipple movement.
Oh yeah.
And I feel like ever since then, the Reykjavik Arts Festival has been extremely nipple heavy.
Oh right, I did see the pictures of the topless woman for one exhibit. I can't remember what it's called. Performance piece. I don't know what you call it.
They were marching down Eysturstræti,
mm-hmm.
and then they crossed into the Parliament Square, Eysturvöllur,
mm-hmm.
just walk around.
Boobs. And I'm like,
boobs.
Yeah, boobs are boobs, and they shouldn't be over-sexualized, sexualized, whatever. My thing was, it's cold. I don't know about you, but in the cold, my nipples hurt. Like, it's... painful. I'd be like, y'all can free nipple if you want to. I'm keeping my shirt on because I'm cold. Yeah, I know I get
free,
it.
I'm free to keep my shirt on.
I'm free to keep my nipples warm. Even if I don't know that I would even want to do it at the pool. It's too cold. Unless you got to stay completely submerged. You want to go to the hot tub, you're going to have clutching the... Ooh, I can't even just think about it. Painful.
I personally free my nipples when I'm at the pool.
Yeah,
but
you do?
I'm cold. If I could wear some sort of, like, bathing top,
mm-hmm.
I might consider doing that.
To preserve the nipples.
Yeah.
How do I... That is... Fair point. How do the dudes feel? Your nipples are just out all the time.
I sometimes feel like wearing, like, a 19th century coverall bathing suit. And, like, cultivating a full handlebar mustache while I'm doing that.
And it must be stripy.
Red and stripy. That's
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'll have some dumbbells and smoke a cigar.
Yes. Pomade your hair.
Pomade my hair. Anyway, the Arts Festival should be fun this year. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to checking it out.
Oh, you know what we had the other day? And I don't know if it's on our map. Black Box Pizza.
Well, no, I don't know that.
It's good. It had some...
Is that the one where it's made by a computer?
I don't think so.
Okay.
The people made it in front of us.
Human beings or robot people?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? I don't know.
Because we are...
They could have been Cylons.
This is Westworld here.
But basically. Since you have not watched Battlestar Galactica, you might not know what I'm talking about.
I have watched Battlestar Galactica.
You haven't watched the whole thing.
I have watched the whole thing.
You watched the whole thing?
Yes, I've watched the whole thing. Spoiler alert. We're all silent.
Okay, you proved yourself. Okay.
You proved yourself. I just didn't want to rewatch it, okay?
Oh, you didn't?
No. It's just a lot to rewatch, especially when you know, like, the spoiler at the end.
That's true.
Black Box Pizza, what is it? Where is it?
It's on that street. I don't know the name of the street. It runs parallel to Side Point. Oh, you know where that optical illusion purple thingy is?
Borgatun.
Yeah, is that what that is? I guess so. Yeah. And it has the red street lights. Yeah. It's on that street.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Black Box Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to try it out. Is it next to the liquor store there?
It's next to... What is it next to?
A fish shop? A 10-11.
Isn't 10-11? Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that place. We haven't tried it yet. Mm-hmm. It was good?
It was good. I had the veggie.
Do I have to pay full price if I go?
Yeah. Hmm. What do you mean, full price?
I like to have a discount wherever I go on ice.
I think you do have to pay full
price. As an American, that makes me deeply happy.
But it was good.
Yeah.
I recommend the veggie. The husband had, and it, with the fresh mozzarella. The other cheese, not so good. Fresh mozzarella.
Fresh mozz.
On whatever pizza you get.
Okay. Can
tasty.
Do. Can mm-hmm. do, can do. Mm-hmm.
It was good. Ding, 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 ding.
So hopefully we can bring you more juicy nuggets very soon.
Yeah.
We're going to have to review our situation here and reassess our needs and what we're going to have to do in the future.
It's stressful producing content.
Yeah.
And you don't want to produce just any old thing.
No, we want to bring just the best of the best. We want to be the raisin.
At the hot dog's end.
That's right. Okay, we're back to work. We're going to get back to work now, everybody.
Yep, back to the grindstone.
Bless y'all.
Bless y'all.